Let's take it to the startup that you've created. So at what point did you start to build this business and decide to go out on your own?
Livbeyond was born in late 2018. It started, I would say, going back to August 2018, I had my first meeting with my business partner. And through very informal conversations about many different things, actually, about the future of work, about a number of books that we both had read, I would say 80% of the books that we recommended each other, we had already read, like the other person had already read it. That triggered the creative juices to start flowing. And we started brainstorming and talking about a number of things, from the future of work to technology and how society should be able to tame technology. We started talking about how the work environment became as toxic as it is in a lot of companies, and what could be done to actually counter that. We started to talk about how is it that wellness could be incorporated into the normal working environment. That took us into mindfulness, and turns out we were both very much engaged into mindfulness practices. And so basically, ultimately, putting all of these things together, we started to craft the Live Beyond concept into what it is now.
That's amazing. It's really exciting hearing about those kind of the things that you just listed there. They're such true challenges at the moment with society. And I find it's fascinating to see how the corporates are going to adapt for the demands of the millennial workforce, or kind of the way that the millennial generation and the generation after us as well are our new priorities, if you know what I mean. They kind of conflict a lot with the big corporations. So it's going to be really interesting to see that evolution. And I think you've picked up on some real important themes and challenges of the society today. So could you just explain exactly what Live Beyond does and what you're trying to solve?
Live Beyond is built on three basic principles, which are deep work, wellness, and learning. Live Beyond is built on the principle that work should energize you. We provide experiences from 2 to 4 weeks long to location-independent workers, which include co-living, co-working, and growth. And we do it from different locations around the globe. These experiences are based on three main principles, which are deep work, wellness, and learning. So the way it works is we organize experiences that encompass a number of things, from mindfulness practices, yoga, meditation, tai chi, breathing work, to then allow people to start their day being present. Don't start your day in autopilot mode, but step out of that autopilot mode and live your days on purpose. Then we design an environment, an ideal environment for deep work, for getting things done in an effective and an efficient way. We should not be working 10, 12, 15 hours a day. That is inefficient and unnecessary, really. And unsustainable as well as a society. But we should be able to tap into deep work mode and make better use of our time. So we design environment for that to happen. And then lastly, we encourage growth and learning through different methods. We bring communities together in these experiences from many different backgrounds and walks of life, which then allows for the group to experience a cross-pollination, right? A learning from each other. Feed that constant curiosity that we have as humans to learn. And we do this through encouraging lunch and learn sessions amongst the participants. We bring in external experts to talk about a number of topics. Topics can span from from quite theoretical ones like design thinking or social media strategies, or you know, go into other topics like mindfulness, like energy healing, to other topics like everything around biohacking, how to improve our mind and body potential, how to understand, like, what are the neurological benefits of fasting, let's say, how to increase our performance on a day-to-day basis, what is the science behind sleep, and then how can we hack our sleep to then perform better, what is the science behind practicing gratitude. So we try to bring these things together through designing an environment ideal for people to connect with each other, to teach each other and learn from each other, but then without necessarily putting your productive life on hold. So that environment of deep work is essential for us, increasing our productivity and allowing the participants to our experiences to bring their projects along with them. Mm. We shy away, for instance, from being categorized as a retreat, because it's not a retreat. We don't want for people to experience life in buckets. This is my work life, my family life. This is my retreat, so I can escape from all the grind from work and the,
yeah,
and the difficulties of work, and then come back to the same. No, it should not be like that. It should be all integrated. So we design an ideal environment for all of this to happen, mixing together, as I said, mindfulness practices with your productive life, with learning, growth, and community.
I think that's amazing. And I think it's very forward thinking. And I can imagine the participants on these experiences going there and taking so much back as well. I guess the idea is to give them the tools and give them the motivation and the mindset, I guess, to like take back into their lives and their working life to kind of improve it, I suppose. Is that right?
It is absolutely right. I mean, the way we see it, this model that we have put ourselves as a society of working Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, in the best of cases, it's all a human construct. We came up with that. We
yeah.
came up based on whatever the circumstances were at the time. But now we continue to live through this model, putting ourselves in cubicles when truthfully our environment has changed so much and technology has improved so much that we should be able to break away from this model.
Mm.
We're not doing it. So what Live Beyond does is we create the tools and the environment for it to happen, for people to actually energize from their everyday, energize from connecting with others in different locations, get work done because that is important, but do it in an efficient and an effective way, while at the same time taking care of your body and mind. So a typical day at Live Beyond looks like this. We start our day with some form of mindfulness practice, or a combination of them. Then people have the time dedicated for work, for them to accomplish what they need to accomplish. This can be done in 4, 6, 8 hours. Everybody is different, and it really depends on the circumstances of each day. But then we also finalize the day with drops of knowledge and an environment for people to connect at an intellectual level. And this can be done by way of experiential workshops or talks or just themed conversations quite informally or immersive workshops. And that's it. And then we design our workday in a very different way than what has been imposed on us, or actually what we have created for us as a society.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And all delivered in beautiful location.
Yeah, I mean, it so happens that we do it in beautiful locations, so that doesn't In September, we're doing one in Iceland. We're going to spend 2 weeks with 15, a community of 15 people in Iceland. As I said, people bring their own work. It's all about remote work, but tapping into this deep work state. And then the theme of growth in Iceland is going to be everything around biohacking. So we're going to be exploring sleep as a science and what are the benefits of sleep. We have actually partnered with Biostrap, which is a fantastic brand that you should check it out. It's a fantastic brand that measures your biometrics. We bring in experts that are going to be giving us talks and leading workshops on a different number of topics, from how to optimize your health, how to improve your mind and body connection, how to improve your sleep. And this is where Biostrap comes in. We're going to be measuring the participants' biometrics throughout the two weeks in Iceland. And we're going to be talking about it, and we're going to be talking about how to improve it, how to improve performance, how to tap into better quality sleep, what foods to eat, what are the benefits, say, of cold exposure and breathing work. I don't know if you're familiar with Wim Hof, but we're looking into that as well, and potentially have a Wim Hof method instructor with us. So all of this is going to happen within the 2 weeks, so that people by the end of the 2 weeks are going to be able to bring in these practices to their daily life. And all of this happened without the need of retreating, right? You can still lead your productive life while doing these things.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It sounds incredible. What's your vision for the company? Where do you want to take it? Because I guess you've been running for a little bit of time now, since 2018. And it would be really interesting to hear at this stage, how is it evolving, and what kind of are you looking to work on in the future?
So the way we have been doing the experiences as of now, we have been doing two-week experiences in beautiful locations where, as I said, we tap into the knowledge of each one of the participants to then enhance the experience and create that cross-pollination exercise. This has led us to then start doing themed experiences. So the one in Iceland, the one that I just described in Iceland, all the workshops and talks that are going to be happening are going to be around the biohacking theme, which again encompasses a broad number of topics. But it's going to be very much a biohacking focused experience. So currently we're working on a number of things, really. One of the streams of work of the company is the experiences. Just like the Iceland experience that I described, we're working on different experiences as well in Colombia, in Malta, in Mexico, in Lebanon. We're going to explore locations in Asia as well in 2020. So there is a lot of work being done on the experiences side. And experiences are going to be twofold as well. We're going to have themed experiences like the one I mentioned in Iceland, which is very much a biohacking focused remote work experience. The one in Malta, we're looking around doing a theme around health for digital nomads. So what are the implications of the blue light exposure? How can we combat that? What are the gadgets in the market in order to make your life as a digital nomad healthier? How do you tackle fitness, say, when you have that nomadic lifestyle? So there's going to be themed experiences, and there's going to be others where we're going to tap into the growth element without necessarily having that theme or a particular theme. So that's on the experiences side. The vision of the company is to do a number of experiences every year. We're thinking of somewhere around 50 to 60 experiences in the long term. as of now, we are looking to 2020 to have one experience per month. So takes us to 10 to 12 experiences for 2020. Mm-hmm. But then, and as the company grows, we want to continue doing this over and over and over.
That's amazing. And I love what you're doing as well with the company in terms of like building new communities. I feel like, yeah, okay, it's an experience that people go to, but I feel like it's probably bringing together a close and building a close-knit community, I guess, of people that are all over the world. And the most similar thing I can think of from my experience is perhaps my yoga teacher training, which I did on an island off of Bali. And you spend like a few weeks with these people and you're immersed in it. And because you've spent that such intense period of time with people and had these breakthroughs or transformations yourself, you really build a strong, strong relationship. And I just think it's such a special thing to be able to do that with people from all over the world with different backgrounds. And I can see that that would happen on your experiences as well, I would imagine.
Absolutely, absolutely. And community is actually one of the foundations and pillars of Live Beyond. And actually, now that you mentioned that, it is a good segue into a different stream of work that we're working on, which is actually creating that community element. Each experience brings between 20 to 25 people together for 2 to 4 weeks. That is incredible. That the amount of the bonding, the level of bonding, and the amount of experiences or ideas and conversations, the amount of things that happen within these 2 to 4 weeks is incredible. And that necessarily creates this bonding amongst people. That is only on experience by experience basis. If you expand that to the whole of the Live Beyond community, it's so powerful. Yeah. Powerful, the level. So we want to expand that and allow everyone to then interconnect across experiences as well. People who join the Live Beyond experiences get access to the Live Beyond alumni, which it's an extremely powerful thing. It's an extremely powerful thing that we want to leverage on, which takes me to our second stream of work at this point, which is expanding these communities into, or these micro communities in each experience into a larger one. We're looking into doing an annual summit where all of these guys can get together in one single location for a day or two or three. We still don't know. This is still in the works. And have different angles to this summit, where we have different talks and conversations and work and workshops on themes and topics like the future of work, remote working, technology, bringing experts with different practices to how to lead a remote team. There's a lot of companies like Buffer who have their teams in their companies fully remote. So what are the practices around this? In this summit, we're also going to explore things like mindfulness and meditation and the impact of this as an individual and then in your company. Mm. Bring in elements of fitness and learning. So basically replicating the core values of our company, but with our community integrated as one. One of the third streams of work that we're developing at the moment is all of this knowledge that gets generated in the experiences, the works and talks and conferences and workshops. We want to expand this to others outside of the community as well. So this is farther down the line, but we want to create a knowledge channel, if you will, to be able to provide access to others outside of the community, be it in, you know, by way of webinars, by way of online courses on these different themes, by way of live streaming these talks. So we're still thinking of that as well, but we want to provide knowledge also to everyone else outside of the community.
Yeah. I think that sounds so exciting. And I love this. I just love this topic of kind of talking about the future of work, the future of like pushing the boundaries of work and like the logistics of it. And I think what you're doing with Live Beyond is so topical. And I think that one day it would be incredible to once a lot of these problems have been solved in terms of like the challenges you have of remote working, and then the corporates start to get wind of it and the demand becomes greater, the pressure on the corporates to like provide that kind of environment or let their workers do that, it's just fascinating. I think it's going to happen one day where like this will start to become more of the norm, and maybe the whole like skyscraper office thing might not be the norm anymore. I just think it's an amazing topic to discuss, and I can go on about it forever, which is why we've got over time a bit.
No, it's fine, but you have actually touched on two things there that are key. Corporates, yeah, for sure. We have been approached actually by corporates who want us to do something for them in two different ways, either for their teams and have their team experience this as a whole, or for individual employees who start to see this as a valuable, not only a perk, but something that they actually deserve. So definitely waking up to this. And then individuals as well. You mentioned the whole skyscraper idea. That, you know, that is a story of the 80s. Mm-hmm. And people see that and understand that, and people have come to realize this through just, you know, a lot of pain sometimes, putting really long hours and sacrificing your family life in order to get that in your office. It doesn't make sense. So as individuals, people are starting to realize that and are actually redefining what success means for them. Success. Yeah. Probably is not that corner office anymore. Success is actually owning your own time and being able to spend time with your family and being able to be there for them and with them on those occasions that actually deserve it. Yeah. So, you know, I think that the switch is starting to happen. I think that inflection point already passed. And I think it's just a matter of time that this becomes a mainstream movement.
I totally agree. And I feel like the office was born in a place where we don't have technology and people needed to be physically together. And we're in a place now where technology is, you know, it's here and it's here to stay. And like, what is the need? There are very few jobs now that need to be face to face. So the office, I just see it becoming redundant. No one would want to work in that environment if they didn't have to, I feel. So it's just fascinating.
You know, and through our research, there's two things that jump to mind now. One is when we talk with freelancers and location independent workers who work on their own, either in their flat or at a coffee shop or at a co-working space, they have had to come up with these practices in order to prime themselves and in order to keep themselves motivated, that are quite, you know, we've seen everything. We've talked to one person who every day, first thing in the morning, emulates the commute to the office by walking around the block a couple of times and then getting back to the flat and working. Really? And that to her was like, okay, working mode. Then at lunchtime, that's the same thing, but then comes to the flat and cooks her lunch. And then by the end of the day, to signal herself, her system, her body, her mind, that it's time to stop, then finishes and walks around the block. Another one, when he's at home working, he works with his shoes on because that to him is, okay, this is... So all of these things that we're starting to create, just because we've given away things like community and society because technology allowed that, technology is there and we have allowed that to happen. So yes, technology is an enabler, but we need to be able to tame technology and not allow it to tame us.
For me, that's really fascinating. And that's what I meant by there's some questions that haven't yet been answered about how can the remote working thing solve all the problems. And I don't think the answers have been found yet, which is why the offices are still, you know, still present and still a thing. But I think the work you're doing with Live Beyond is solving a lot of these things. And once that concept's been proven, there's no... Yeah, I just can definitely see the office becoming redundant one day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Then through our research, the other thing that we've seen is as millennials and, as millennials start getting into management positions and leading teams, they realize, they grew up with this technology, so they know that actually work can be done without the need of being at the office. However, they because they were not brought up to the managerial positions like that, they see the benefit, but they don't have the tools to do it.
Yeah.
So that's another pain point that we need to address and that we plan to address at Live Beyond. How do we provide the tools, practices, frameworks, and elements to these guys to then be able to lead teams remotely successfully, because they know the benefit, but then putting it in practice is a whole other game. So how do we do this and enable this for them?
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah, I could go on and talk about this forever. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask one more question and then we have a quick fire round and then we'll wrap up. On the topic of like personal development and like, that kind of thing, you went to the Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within, as did I. So it would be really good to hear from you, like what you thought about it and I guess why you think like investing in personal development is so important.
Okay, so when we started these conversations with my now business partner and co-founder, this is one of the things actually that we found ourselves being on the same boat. And he's the one who recommended me to go to UPW. He is actually the one who sold me the ticket. He had done it last year. Yeah. So personal development, the moment you open yourself into a self-discovery journey, you inevitably end up doing things like UPW. Not necessarily Tony Robbins in particular, but things like that, things that shake your grounds and make you question your own belief systems and paradigms. The reason I say that is because when you put yourself in a journey of self-discovery, that requires, and if it creates at least self-awareness, humility, and openness to be able to see your blind spots or allow others to point out your blind spots or identify your limiting beliefs. So that self-awareness, once you have it, once you have identified these things, the normal next step is then fixing it or doing some work to overcome those limiting beliefs or doing some personal work to create more empowering beliefs. So it is just a natural transition, I believe. So yeah, the moment you place yourself in that journey of self-discovery, that's it. You will inevitably end up in personal improvement practices and in a path of personal growth.
Mm-hmm. And I think for any of the listeners, if they're starting to feel like, because a lot of my listeners are people who are challenging the path that they're on, or maybe they're starting to feel a bit crap with what they're doing and they're like, I need to do something else, but they don't know what it is. It's seminars like the Tony Robbins thing or personal development, anything along those lines. You don't need to have the answers, and that's quite the point. Like going and putting yourself in one of these events and spending that time, it starts the journey, doesn't it? And you always get something out of it. So I would just definitely say, even though you have no idea like what's going to come out of it, the best thing to do is to go to something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that is the moment you do that, you're making a conscious decision. I think as long as you place yourself, you embark yourself in a conscious journey of self-discovery, you're already in the right path. Whether that is by way of going to one of these seminars with an open mind and allowing that experience to trigger things within, that's fine. If actually you end up in the seminars as a result of something else, as a result of that journey that you have already been going through, that's also fine. As long as you're consciously embarking in a self-discovery journey, I think you're good. Could be through seminars or not. Could be that the seminar is a trigger, or just off. Me personally, I found incredible value in the Tony Robbins one. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, went a bit skeptical when I first on the first day, but then once I was there, I changed my mindset and transformed my attitude towards it, and I now have only good things to say. It was extremely valuable for me, and I would definitely recommend people to go do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. The first day I'm like, what is this? This is just way too American for me. But then I feel like everyone in the room just felt really uneasy. And then he just forced it. So it was like by day two, we were either going to embrace it or like not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you literally read my mind. That's exactly how I felt. I was lucky enough that people who ended up like in the little group that was around me was, you know, they had a very, very good energy, very good attitude that was contagious. So very quickly my own preconceptions kind of faded and I joined that same energy.
I think it was nice because I think everyone felt the same, like, oh my God, what is this? I feel so uncomfortable. But you held the space for the people around you to make them feel less comfortable by getting involved. And everyone did that. And that was just so nice to see, I think, and just helped everyone feel more comfortable. Right, let's move on to the quick fire round. So it's just three questions that I'll ask you, and then we should be able to wrap up after this. So first one, what's the best book that you've ever read?
Man in Search of Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of that one. Nice.
It's fantastic.
I always link these in the show notes as well. So what is it that you particularly liked about that one? Just for the listeners, in case they, you know, it resonates with them and they can go on the link in the show notes to look it up.
It's one of those books that shifts your paradigms. It did mine, at least. It is a book that I read and was 15, I believe. I didn't particularly like reading at the time, and that is the one book that got me into reading. I then reread it a number of times after that. Of course, it is one to read, definitely. It has many different layers to it. That is why it is a very dear book to me. It shifted my mental models in different ways and made me question many things inside. So.
Yeah, it certainly sounds really interesting. Okay, question two. So this podcast is called the Well and Wild Podcast, and I called it that because I think to be well in life, you need to do some wild things and dare to go against the norm sometimes. So what is the wildest thing that you've ever done in your life? I always think this is such a funny question to ask people on this podcast, because everybody on this podcast has done some pretty wild things. That's why I've got them on. So it's like, there's normally so many answers they can give me.
Interesting. Let's see. I mean,
it could even be starting a company, you know.
I mean, I don't know if wild, but if I look back at it now, it certainly feels that way. I used to play squash professionally when I was a kid. I did my first international trip when I was like 10 years old as part of the team, as part of the national team. And I didn't feel wild at the time. It was just me going to play squash, which is what I love. But now looking back at it, it seems quite wild. It seems quite a young age to start. And it definitely created this thirst for exploring new countries and going to new places and getting immersed in new cultures. So yeah, I would say that one.
That's a good answer. I like that. I feel like, yeah, at 10 years old, you probably didn't necessarily like understand the significance of it necessarily. But yeah, getting the opportunity to play for your country is like incredible. I like it. Okay. Final question. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
You know, somebody told me once that, can't quite remember the situation I was in, but I was complaining.
Okay.
Or something. And then he said, don't complain. Remember where you were when you wanted to be in this position that you are at now. And be grateful for being in this position, because you've accomplished what you wanted. So this thing that I'm looking at right now, for instance, in the future, 1 year time or 2 years time, whenever I accomplish my next goal, I'm actually going to be looking back thinking at that moment. So don't complain, just be grateful. I guess there's two advices there embedded into one story, right? It's being grateful for what you have and taking the learnings out of every situation, but also always being mindful and remembering where you're coming from before you were in this situation and where you were when you wanted to be in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so powerful and definitely puts it a different perspective on it, I think. Amazing. Thank you. That's the end of the questions. But where can the listeners find you and find Live Beyond and where, like Instagram or website? Where can they find you? And I'm going to link this in the show notes as well.
Great. So the Instagram handle for Live Beyond is livebeyond.global.
Mm-hmm.
The website as well, www.livebeyond.global.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And your Iceland experience is, have you still got spaces?
Yeah, we do actually. We have six available spots, six remaining spots. And it's going to happen between the 16th of September to the 28th of September.
Amazing. So if anyone listening would love to go, then go on the website and check it out.
More than welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Philippe. I think that was an incredible conversation. I'm going to split it into two parts, I think, because there's so much there, but I just wanted to keep going. It was incredible. Yeah, I really, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Not at all, Susie. Thank you. And we'll keep in touch.
So that is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. And I'd be really, really grateful if you enjoyed this episode, if you would leave me a review. You don't even have to write anything if you don't want to. You can literally just tap the stars and it submits it. And I'm so, so grateful for your support on this. Have an amazing week and I'll chat to you next week.